case number 9-03-4275, the United States of America versus Garcia Vasquez. Mr. Ruth, good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Robert Ruth. I represent Miguel Garcia Vasquez in this case. There are two issues before the court. First of all, how should we define violation warrant as it's used in this section of the guidelines? And second, should we adhere to United States versus Lee, a decision in this court, that says that a warrant must be served within a reasonable period of time or else it's void? I submit that the second issue is the easier one, and that's what I'll start with. It's easier because we've already decided it. United States versus Lee, this court said that you have to serve a warrant within a reasonable period of time. Now, the district court in this case didn't apply Lee because it said, well, Lee was merely discussing Missouri law. It's not a matter of federal law.
I have a big problem with why we're even discussing Lee, to be honest with you, and that is both Lee and the guideline amendment address a situation where a defendant commits a crime after the probationary period has expired. And the question is whether the probationary period has been extended by virtue of an outstanding warrant. But here, we don't know for certain when Garcia Vasquez illegally reentered the country, but we know for certain that it occurred within the original probationary period.
Except, Your Honor, he wasn't prosecuted because of his entry. He was prosecuted because of his presence. And the indictment charges that, I believe it was May of 2003 is when the offense occurred. I'm not sure if I'm helping myself.
Well, we know that the government didn't find out about the illegal reentry until May 13, 2003, but I'm not certain that we know, you know.
I thought he was charged with illegal entry, wasn't he?
The specific offense charges that he was found in the United States on a certain date. It's under the same statute, but that statute is phrased in such a way so that it's virtually impossible to defend against because all you have to be is found in. So there isn't a question of when did you enter, how did you enter, where did you enter. If you're here, you entered. And that's what he's charged with, being found in the United States.
Judge Roedner's point is that he committed the offense when he re-entered the United States.
Well, we don't know when that was, though.
Before May 2003, certainly.
That's true. And I think that I'm not suggesting that we should just pretend like the obvious isn't obvious. Obviously, he did enter the United States at some point, and obviously it was before he was incarcerated on the Green Bay case because he had a 3-year prison sentence. But the simple fact is the guidelines are driven by the offense as it is charged. And this particular offense is charged as found in on or about May of 2003. And that's
charged. Well, that was still within the probationary period.
Well, now that depends on how you're going to define his probationary period.
Well, we know that he clearly committed the instant offense while under the criminal justice sentence for the California robbery, don't we?
No, we don't.
We don't?
No. We don't know. Well, we know for a fact that May of 2003 was not. Look, I guess, Your Honor, you're suggesting a different offense. That he's charged with on or about May 3rd, and I'm confining my argument to those particular facts. Now, the government might have charged him differently,
well,
and perhaps if they charged him differently,
even if it's May, though, you're still within the period, aren't you?
No, May 2003 is not within the period. Well, what is it? 5-year period. He was deported in 1997. No, July of 1998. That is within the 5-year period.
No, we know he was released from the Los Angeles County Jail on June 24th, 1998.
Well, the other fact that we're missing here, Your Honor, is that he was not on probation because his probation was revoked. And the other factor that we're missing is...
No. His two-year probationary period began to run when he was released from the Los Angeles County Jail on June 24th, 1998.
His two-year period of probation?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's done in 2000.
Well, it depends when.
Well, right, but that's why this whole question of how are we going to define, how can you extend it? What's the violation warrant? But so we don't know that he entered this country while his probationary period was still in effect if he hadn't been revoked. But what we do know is he was revoked. Okay, that we know for a fact.
Wait a minute. Forgive me. We know that on May 8th, 2000, he was charged in Brown County, Wisconsin, on the felony battery to a law officer and domestic abuse. Right?
Right.
If you tell me that's the
right
date, off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Yeah, right.
The $10,000 question in this case, though, Your Honor, is, first of all, was his probation revoked? Was he on probation at the time? But second of all...
Well, isn't there a warrant outstanding at this time, right?
There is a bench warrant outstanding, that's correct.
Now, they had a bench warrant, but the time for service expired, as I understand it.
Well, it wasn't so much that the time for service expired in that there's a specific statutory time limit, it's just that it wasn't served within a reasonable period of time. And that's what we have here.
Isn't that because he was operating under a false name?
I don't believe that's been established. That's been alluded to. It wasn't argued in the district court. It hasn't been established.
What is he being held on in Wisconsin under what name?
He was being held under his, to my knowledge, under his true name. Well, under the name that he was deported under. I guess, how am I to say what his true name was?
And what name was that?
I believe it was Miguel Garcia Vasquez. Name he was deported under. But see, that's the $10,000 question. Was he the same name that he was deported under is the name that he was being held under here? The same, and it couldn't have been too hard to figure out because as soon as they started the federal prosecution, they figured out that it was the same person, that it was the same Miguel Garcia Vasquez. So it wasn't too much of a mystery that we're dealing with the same person. Here's what we can't lose track of. Even if you're right, on much of what you're saying that, well, it really isn't that bad because we know he must have entered at some point earlier. Forget about how he was charged. We'll just overlook that. Even if you're right on that, okay, it still remains that when he walked into a sentencing hearing, he was unsentenced in California because California didn't want to extradite him.
Because they couldn't find him.
No, he sat in prison in Wisconsin for 2 or 3 years. They, and even to the
under
point,
what name?
Miguel Garcia Vasquez, his correct name. But even in this case, when the probation department contacted California and said, we've got him, do you want him? They expressed zero interest.
Well,
they don't want him. They knew he was getting deported. That's the purpose of the sentence.
But you also know it's a matter of common sense that California doesn't want to take somebody from Wisconsin that's already in the pen, or does somebody from Wisconsin, does Wisconsin authorities want to take someone in California who's housing him.
Well, but he got out of the pen. He got out of the pen, and they didn't want him. You know, the district court, read the district court's comment on what California did. You know, I'm not the only one saying this. He didn't make a specific finding, but I think he agreed.
Yeah, well, of course, his probation for the California robbery conviction didn't expire until June 2000 at the earliest, or, if the government's right, 2001.
But the government didn't charge him with the day with entering illegally. It charged him with found in on a specific date. But, you know, if California wanted him, if California bothered to sentence him, he would only get 1 point. The only reason he gets 2 points is because California's taken a pass on him.
Wasn't he using false names, though, and false birthdays?
He used false names. I think that's pretty clear.
And false birthdays?
Yes.
No. He carried it out all the way to the end.
No, I don't believe he carried it out to the end.
I mean, he kept using false names, false birthdays.
Well, I don't know what you mean by to the end. He used them periodically.
Well, he could, is what I mean, to the end.
Well, I it's not clear when he abandoned false names. It's not even, I suppose you could say, well, how do we even know this is his real name? We know the name he was deported under. That's the name he was incarcerated.
But his own concealment of his identity prevented California from even being aware of his incarceration in Wisconsin.
That's incorrect, Your Honor. That is incorrect. He was in Wisconsin under the same name that he was deported under.
But not under the name he had been incarcerated in California under.
Well, if that's true, very similar names, Miguel Garcia.
Oh, my God.
If that's true, though, the federal probation office in Green Bay contacted California, and they had no interest in it.
Can you imagine how
they didn't
many
have the right name?
Well, no, they didn't, because they didn't have the right name.
Didn't fall off any pineapple truck.
No, because you're right, they don't have an interest. Because they, and the district court is right, the day they gave the sentence, they didn't have the interest. The idea was, he's getting deported. The probation was a throwaway. It was so that if he ever comes back, they can throw him in jail. It's that simple.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Koenig.
May it please the court, my name is Jonathan Koenig. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and I appear on behalf of the government.
Can I upset you by just going right into, you know, something? Why do we have all this detailed argument about whether or not the California court had continuing jurisdiction over Garcia Vasquez when he illegally enters the court? Don't we know for certain that he illegally reenters sometime prior to May 2000, well within the original probationary period?
Yes, Your Honor is correct, and I would like to address the line of questioning that you addressed to my opponent, which I think was aimed at determining when did the defendant commit this offense. Under Seventh Circuit law, I'm thinking particularly of United States versus Lopez Flores. Illegal reentry is a continuing offense. It's first committed at the time of reentry and continues until the time that the defendant is, or the alien is, found in the United States. So that raises an interesting question. If my opponent is correct that the relevant point in time is when the defendant was found in Wisconsin, then there's an alternative ground for affirming the district court here, because he was under a criminal sentence in Wisconsin for battery, I believe it was, at the time he was found. If the relevant point in time is earlier, as Judge Rovner suggested, then he was still under the probation sentence in the state of California. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a 3-year probation term, not 2 years.
Look. On May 8th, he's charged in Brown County, Wisconsin, with felony battery to a law officer, plus domestic abuse. He was incarcerated on that charge very shortly thereafter. And so he couldn't have illegally reentered the country any time after May 2000. He's in jail. Well, he's in the country on May 8th, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So he clearly committed the instant offense while under the criminal justice sentence for the California robbery, didn't he?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Go to your next slide.
I mean, I guess I would like to briefly address what my opponent refers to as the $10,000 question, which is whether the California court had continuing jurisdiction. And we'll just assume for the moment that he wasn't actually under probation. Mr. Ruth makes a distinction here between a violation warrant and a bench warrant. The warrant in this case, I think, was denominated a bench warrant. Application Note 4 could not be clearer about the legal effect of an outstanding violation warrant. If you have such a warrant outstanding, you're under a criminal sentence for purposes of the two-level, the two criminal history points, excuse me. What happened here, the defendant's probation did not expire when it was summarily revoked, as Mr. Ruth says at page 8 of his brief. The effect of summary revocation under California law is to toll the running of the probationary period. That's set forth in the Penal Code at section 1203.2 sub A. And the Court of Appeals in California summarized the legal effect of this procedure in People versus Capilla, cited in our brief, as follows. It said, summary revocation of probation suspends the running of the probationary period so that the court retains jurisdiction to determine at a formal revocation hearing whether there has, in fact, been a violation. So it seems clear that the defendant, notwithstanding the summary revocation, remained under the jurisdiction of the California court and was therefore under a criminal sentence. And I would respectfully submit
that. How does that compare with the situation in Lee?
The factual situation in Lee, Your Honor, or are you asking more generally about Lee?
The situation as it relates to the Missouri statute.
The government's position on Lee is that it, first of all, it doesn't survive application note 4 because the holding in Lee was that the existence of an outstanding warrant did not constitute being under a criminal sentence. And application note 4 says the exact opposite. But also, Your Honor is correct, that decision was tailored very narrowly to a reasonable time requirement under Missouri law. I think it was statutory and had also been affirmed or stated by the Supreme Court in Missouri. I'm not aware of any similar requirement under California law. Did I answer your question, Your Honor?
Yes. Just to clarify the facts, though, there was an outstanding bench warrant, I take it, in Lee, and the state law said that it had to be served within a reasonable time. Is that correct? Okay, I think I understand.
Yes, that's my understanding, Your Honor.
Both Lee and the guideline address the situation, as I mentioned before, where a defendant commits a crime after the probationary period has expired, but while a violation warrant is outstanding.
That's correct, but in this case, either the defendant was still under a probationary sentence or the sentence hadn't been told and the California court retained jurisdiction. Either way, he was under a criminal sentence and therefore the 2 points were appropriately assigned to him by the district judge. I think some of the cases that have been decided since Lee and since Application Note 4 set forth the government's position in this case fairly well, so I won't bother you with it, but of course I'm referring particularly to United States versus Elmore, the Third Circuit case, and the cases from the Fifth, Eleventh, and First Circuits, which have followed that decision. So unless the court has any further questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Koenig. Now, Mr. Ruth, your time has expired, but I'm going to give you a minute.
Okay, thank you.
This business of he violated it anyway, no matter how we look at it, it depends on how he's charged, Your Honor. And he was, and it's a continuing offense. But he wasn't charged with illegal reentry. He was charged with being found in. And that really is the beginning and the end of the inquiry. The date that he was found in is the date that he was charged, and that's the date that we have to go off of. What we can't lose track of is, you know, this is hair splitting, is really what it boils down to. But it's hair splitting that adds time for this defendant. All of this flows from what California did. And, Your Honor, you were right. I know California doesn't want him. They never did want him. The only reason they gave him that probation, they know they were kicking him out. They know the minute he walked out of the jail, he was going to get deported. They gave him the probation. It's a setup. He was doomed to failure the day they gave him the probation. Because if he comes back, they've got it. The federal sentencing guidelines should not reward, should not punish a defendant for that type of legal structure. Thank you.
Mr. Koenig and Mr. Ruth, thank you so much for a well-argued, really very interesting